Women's Shir Chavis Halvava, Sunday afternoon, Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Sunday afternoon, Tez Zayin Adar Aleph, Tavshin Ayin Dalet. Okay, tonight, Sunday night, Yud Zayin Adar Aleph. Okay. Okay. So, we're doing Chavis Halvavas, Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Baruch HaTodah. And we're up to number 17. I won't go through the first 16, although I should. Just to remind you that we're serious about this. A person should think about these things and try to think about them during the day when one has time that one is not thinking about anything, something else. Very worthwhile pursuit. That's the point of this, is to think about things. Number 17 is like the last one I said was maybe depressing, but then we gave it a spin that it's not depressing. It teaches us the chashivas of life, the chashivas of the present, the chashivas of every minute. Number 17 is also somewhat counterintuitive from the way we're used to thinking. And it doesn't always apply to everyone in all situations, as I'll explain in a moment. But it's a quality that's become lost. And therefore, even if we do number 17 once in a while, well, he's not telling us to do it always. He's telling us really to think about the value. The value of what? Think about the value of being alone. Actually, this comes into play with what we're learning about on Wednesdays in Sha'ar HaBitachon. But here he elaborates, he takes it from a little different angle, and he elaborates a little more. And number 17 is, again, these are things to think about. You don't always have to be around people, and you don't always have to be in a social setting, and you don't always have to be with friends or neighbors. Or he says there's a very special quality to being alone. Along with your thoughts, which generally people are afraid to be, and I use that word very carefully, very specifically, people don't like to be alone with their thoughts because they might start thinking about all these things we're learning about in the Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh that you're supposed to think about, and then they'll really get depressed. Forget about number 16. They'll really get depressed. We're doing number 17. Hishtachluso, his thinking about, his realization, be'eis shatita nafshal l'chevras b'nei adam. When you're feeling like you gotta be with people. You gotta, like, what's going on? You didn't talk to anyone in like at least 6-7 minutes. You gotta make a phone call. Who could you call up? Who can you be with? U'lehishtasheya bohem. And to enjoy, you wanna enjoy people's company, and you wanna be in the, you want to be b'toch en yanim. You want to be b'toch en yanim. You don't want to be like a loner. You don't want to be a neb. So you want to be with the crowd that's tumbling about what's happening and what's going to happen and what should happen and what this. He says, relax, calm down, and at least think about b'maylus habadidus. Think about the quality of being alone, v'apridam ibnei adam, and not being surrounded by people. Because of the negative, there are positives to it. I would imagine he's going to say at the end of the cheshbon a positive. If you have someone that you could learn from, someone that you grow together with that person, then that's a good chevra. But snam chevra, he said, it shouldn't be as compelling. I'm trying to soften this so you should be able to hear it. It shouldn't be as compelling as you think. You think, like the teenagers, or they have a fear of missing out, right? They have a word for that. FOMO. You ever hear that? FOMO. Fear of missing out. It's a slang word. And everybody has that. You see, people, even men also, who are not yentas, but sorry. They see a group in the Beis Medrash in the shul. They walk over. What's happening? What are you talking about? What's happening? And the worst blow you can give to such a person is say, it's okay, it's not negay of you. Then like, he goes nuts. But he has to know what's happening. He has to be part of the social scene. So the Chavis Halbava says, you know, it has a big quality to be alone. If you find yourself being lonely, that's really what we're talking about in Shar HaBitachon. But if you find yourself being lonely and that could cause a depression, then certainly the Rambam discusses how a person with Morash Chora likes to sit alone. But he's not doing any of the positive qualities of being alone that the Chavis Halbava is going to speak of now. He's just sitting alone, wallowing in self-pity, and getting more and more depressed. So obviously that's not a quality. But there's a quality, what? I don't know. L'chora not. It shouldn't be that way. Because husband and wife should have one neshama, one soul, one heart that ticks together. Unfortunately, it's quite often not that way. And when it's not that way, then it's talking about that also. But in a ideal or close to ideal situation, then, you know what, let's learn it and we'll see if it applies. And he says, you have to realize the negatives that come out of associating with people and always wanting to be in the inn and knowing what's happening. And the negative aspects of having a chevra, mebli dochak shevienu lekach. I mean, obviously you need a chevra for certain things. If you're in sales and you're in a store and you're running a business, or if you're doing things, obviously you have to interact with people. But without having to interact with people, he says, let's examine the qualities of being alone. Let's examine the qualities. Umeiroas chevrayim, number one, he goes, he makes a list. You know, Chavis Halbava loves lists. He makes a list of the negative aspects of being always with a chevra. Number one is mosrei hadvarim. Talk. The Omar, the Nomar, what this one said, when that one said, you know, just chattering. Ubilbul aruch, and they just talk and waste time. This is ready for, not lashon hara, you know, just talking. Ain't tzorech elav, there's nothing accomplished. And if you're alone, you know, you could also do that if you space out. But if you're with people, generally, not the kind of people he talks about at the end of the cheshbon, but if you're with people, generally, it's impossible to avoid just bittelsman, chattering, talking, gossiping, even in not lashon hara, just, what's news, you know? Oh, I heard there was a traffic jam on the New Jersey Turnpike. But you're living in Ramat Beit Shemesh. doesn't concern you. There's so much snow in Muncie. Oh man. So at least I have a son there. I have an excuse. I could feel bad for him. Or maybe he's hinting I should buy him a snow blower. But you know, even people that are not no gay, oh, bilbul oruch ain't sorech elav. Omer achocham, berov dvorim lo yichdal pesha. It's impossible to avoid pesha from slam talking. The chosech svos of maskil. Mishle is full of these exhortations to just be quiet, not to talk so much. He's not talking about talking, he's talking about being in a chevra. But he's saying if you're in a chevra, you have to talk, you have to participate. You can't be quiet, and you'll have all the negativity related to talking. In fact, being silent is one of the things the Chavis Halbava says in Shara Avodas Elokim, that it's okay to be extremist about. You're supposed to go in Derech Lam Tzoy. But when it comes to talking, he says, the more you're quiet, the better you are, even if you're an extremist in being quiet. So we were learning it once many years ago, and one woman, she's a fine, good woman. She said, like, that's not true, what do you mean? And then she came back either a few days later or a week later, I don't remember, and she said she tried it out. She tried out just being quiet, not talking unless you have something to say, like Mr. Ed. You remember the old TV show, Mr. Ed?
Yes.
So the song in the beginning of the show was, Mr. Ed will never talk unless he has something to say. So if people would be like that. So she came back and she said it was marvelous. It was an unbelievable experience. She sees like 80% of the things we say, you don't have to say. And it just gets you into trouble. Just gather up your extra words. V'chasom moser l'shonecha. And close up. I'm sorry, hello? Okay, fine, bye-bye. Yeah, I'm sorry, but let me put it on silent and I just won't answer the phone. V'chasom moser l'shonecha. Okay, that's number one. So number one is, you just waste time over things that have no significance whatsoever, no social value, no nothing value. Just talk. So again, he's talking about the mile of being alone. When you're alone, you could talk to yourself. That gets tiring after a while, and you won't talk so much. Number two is, you're going to end up talking Lashon Hara. U'medaber b'vnei Adam v'hizkira olseihem. You're going to end up talking about people, because inevitably the conversation turns to that. The saper begenusam v'amar akosav binyan zeh teishay v'achicha sadaber b'benimcha titein dolfi. Number three is lies, you know, twisting the truth, going away from the truth, exaggerating, you know, you're telling a story. Even something as simple as a story, people have a tendency to exaggerate and to tell it exactly, not exactly the way it happened. V'akosav v'divri hasheker. That's another, so again, when you're with people, you have to talk. Number one is the wastefulness of it. Number two is Lashon Hara. Number three is lies. It was Omar Havos Bekirba. Omar Hekshati Voeshma Lo Ken Yudaberu. Number four is Ushvu Hasheker Vahashav. We don't have that so much. Baruch Hashem, over the generations, we've been weaned off. It used to be like a very normal part of conversation to swear. Or to swear in the name of Hashem. Without the name of Hashem, you know, I swear I never was in such a situation before. The people talk like that. But now it's not, Baruch Hashem, but from people it's not so common. Could be, I don't mean anything racist by this, but Sfaradim are more easy because they're more emotional. So they want to, like, be ma'amid divrehem, so they'll be quicker. Or even, you know, you could hear a person that's not so refined saying, and I'm just saying this, please don't be shocked, I'm just saying it, like, God damn it, which is really a klala. It's a klala, and it's with the shame Hashem. It's really, it's a very terrible thing to say. It's a klala b'shem Hashem, which is also. And this is a famous thing that b'meshach hadoros became really the norm, and that is swearing for truth. The Torah allows you to swear if it's true in the name of Hashem. Certainly many dinim in Choshem Mishpat and in Bezdin, you have to swear. So he says, I'm giving you an nature, not even to swear for the truth, and that over the generations, it was more individuals had that hanhaga, but then it became really a hanhaga on the part of the average people, and nowadays, even Batei Din, I mean, for the last maybe 100 years, 150 years, maybe 200, I don't know, let's call it 150 years, Batei Din don't make people swear, which makes it much more difficult to deal with many situations in Beis Din, because Shavuos, putting the person under oath, making him swear, is very prevalent in Choshen Mishpat, and it really resolves a lot of issues when you don't really have clear proof one way or the other. But you see, in the Gemara, Chazal instituted so many Shavuos, whether it's Midi Araisa or Midi Rabbanon, and whenever you turn, you have to swear. But what happened, I guess, is that people started swearing falsely. And the onesh for swearing falsely is mind-boggling. The Gemara describes it as very, very, very severe, one of the most severe averus, because swearing really is attesting that something is true in the name of Hashem, which you're sort of saying, just like Hashem is true, just like Hashem's existence is true, so too, it's true that I don't owe you money, let's say. And what happened with Meshach Hadoros is things were getting bad and terrible. Until, as I say, historically, relatively recently, even but they didn't stop giving shuvas. The truth is, yeah. I mean, that's the historical reality. I don't know of any bezdin nowadays that'll actually make a person swear. Okay. But anyway, so this is number four. Imru hain olav. Just say yes or no. What do you have to swear for? Just, say something's true or false. Baruch Hashem, in the court system, I don't know what it is in Israel, but in America, it's well known. A Jew doesn't have to swear. You say you affirm, and you violate perjury. You still have the onus of perjury if you're lying, but it's not a shvua. And they allow that. That's of course, but it doesn't have this, definitely, of course, and that's Nichlal in number three, what he said. But just, it's not the severity of a shvua. That's all. It's also to eat something treif, terribly, horribly also. It's not the severity of doing a avodah zarah. There's nothing wrong with that statement, right? This is terrible, but there are the worst things. Okay? So here also, it's terrible to say a lie. It's terrible to cheat and to steal in Beis Din, especially by lying. But it's worse to make a shvua. So you can't just cancel all Dinei Torah, because then how will people find justice? So you have to have a source to find justice. Saying we're very, speaking from experience, but the Din are very hampered by the fact that they don't do shvuas anymore. So it's really a very, sometimes it's an impediment to justice. And you wish it would be back in, you wish it would be back doing it, but it's just, it's not done anymore. For better or for worse, sometimes it's for worse. It's not as if someone stood up and said, we're making a takana for Klal Yisrael, no more shvuas. It happened on its own, organically, sociologically, it just happened that they stopped being mashbia, probably for good reason. They probably knew what they were doing. I don't know of any bezdin that makes a person swear nowadays. It's just like, it's not done. Okay. So there's one thing we don't have to worry about. Okay. Number five is that when people talk, chatter, there's always a sub-context. Either of one upsmanship, where someone tells you a story and you say, oh yeah, you should hear what happened to me. You think that's a tzara. I got a bigger tzara than you. Or whatever the case may be. But it's like, there's a subtlety of one upsmanship. Okay, the Lord is very, very smart, and he understood relationships. Hagaiva v'haleitzonos, or you just end up making fun of something, right? Mocking something, ubazus, tzas hayoshvim, and you mock some of the people you know, vaschokimohim, and it's a way of building yourself up, because in a social setting, you wanna move ahead on the chessboard or on the checkerboard. You wanna move up. You wanna move up on the social ladder. So, ukvor yichadati bahar chokas, inyan hazeh sha'ar b'sefer hazeh. I devoted an entire sha'ar to that. So what is he talking about? He's talking about sha'ar hakaniyah. Because he's talking about gaiva. He's talking about trying to portray yourself as something special. And this happens. So that he talks about in sha'ar hakaniyah. How the sha'ar of submissiveness or anova, humility, how a person should never feel that way. But his point here is, this is one of the things that happen when people are standing around talking. So inevitably, there's a jockeying for position of who's smarter or better or more on the ball or more hamish or more capable or more able to handle life or whatever. And that's what he says. And very smart, Chazal loves. The head of Yiras Elokim milibo be'esus arvo and b'nei yodam. He really goes through everything. He says when you're with people and you're chattering and you're talking, it's very hard to keep in mind Yiras Hashem, that this Hashem is here and Hashem is watching you and Hashem, because you're pulled by the conversation. And you sort of forget that Hashem is there and Yiras Hashem, and you have to be careful what you say. In general, you're like in a different world, he says. You're like a precursor, sort of, where you're not serious enough about the fact, because Chazal wants us always to be cognizant and aware and thinking about that Hashem's always watching us. That was an earlier part of the Cheshbon HaNefesh. So he says, you're not going to do that when you're standing around with people. So that's number six, negative aspect of social interaction. The ace, the head, their yiras alokim milibo, but aces arvon b'nei adam, when he's with people, the sichasu imam, emiyot tzatzala. It's very hard to escape from that. Because they're talking, and you know, once you're caught up in it, you don't want to walk away, then you imagine they'll start making fun of you for being a frumi, or what else, or a neb, or a boor, or whatever. And this is part of, you know, so you want to stay there, and you maybe as a person gets older, they don't have this Yetzirah anymore. But he wants everybody to think about this and to realize, again, does it apply 24 hours a day? No. Sometimes people need companionship, obviously. Hopefully it's a type of companionship that he will soon describe is not a steerer to solitude, because it doesn't carry any of these dangers. But in general, at least think about how this is the result of pointless social interaction, or to phrase it a different way, maybe most social interaction is pointless. If it's not true, so then you could go to sleep and tell your neighbor to wake you up after we finish the cheshbon. Umehem, now he says something that's so chovas halvavos, so typical of the chovas halvavos. He says when you're standing around, that's another one. He says when you talk, you start talking about your business. He says people talk too much, and they reveal things about themselves that they would rather not have revealed. And the people keep it in mind. Don't worry, you say anything negative about yourself, people remember it for the next 20 years. Then in 20 years, a shadchan calls up. Said, I think she once went to a doctor. She was having like panic attacks like 20 years ago. And don't kid yourself, this happens. And just when you're standing around people, so the Chavit HaLavas, you reveal things about yourself that come back to haunt you later. And he says things about himself, whether what bank he keeps his money in, how much percent interest he's getting, how much his credit card earns, the exchange rate, and he can go ATM, and where do you keep your money, and how much money, and then you end up talking about how much money you earn. And it's nobody's business. Nobody has to know these things. But you feel compelled in a social setting to talk. Vachonef. This is, chonef is you don't condemn evildoers enough, because you're in a crowd, and if the crowd is making fun of something good and mocking something good and doing and giving chashivas to someone bad, you don't want to like stand out, you don't want to be the frumi of the crowd, so you're quiet and you're going along with them, and that's not good. You'll be punished. You are punished if you were show's sake. For avos kanos Hashem, you want publicity. You want to be famous. It doesn't have to mean famous over the whole world, but you want people to know how good you are, and this becomes a goal of yours, and that's not good. But it happens when you're sitting or standing with people and talking to them. So you want to, again, you know, you want your level to be raised because many times friends are a hierarchy, and you want to be higher up in the hierarchy. What?
Isn't flattery?
Yeah, I said chonif is flattery of when someone is an evildoer, and you don't want to say he did something bad. So you say, okay, you really told him off. I really want to say that was lashon hara and vayishpnechaver barabim and terrible, but instead you say, you said good. Hey, that was pretty sharp retort. That's chonif. Chonif is when you don't condemn evil, and you either, according to some rishonim, you're quiet; according to other rishonim, you're a little encouraging, or you can't find it in yourself to say that. It's like if I'd be afraid of Mrs. Zabrowski, and I wouldn't want to say that Sharon is not a good person. So I would be chonef. So Baruch Hashem, I stood the nisayon. And I got Mrs. Zabrowski's ire, but I didn't care because I didn't want to be over Khalifa.
Just that we can't negate the bad that he did because of the good.
It's not Lashon Hara, it's not Pikairos. It's not Lashon Hara, not Pikairos. You could talk to your heart's content. You have a desire to talk Lashon Hara, talk about Sharon. Talk about all the people that unfortunately don't believe in Hashem. Right? For some reason, the Yetzirah, it's like with Shaduchim, all of a sudden, you want to see people being makbid on Lashon Hara. Try to find that information about someone and shidduchim. All of that. It leads to not good things. But again, because it's the Yetzirah. It's the Yetzirah. Lizgadol etzlam b'meshu yodea, because you don't want to, you don't want to sound like a neb. You don't want to sound like you don't know what's going on. So they say, hey, did you hear about this person? And you go, yeah. And you want to appear to be in the know, in the loop, on the ball. You don't want to make it look like you're outside the crowd. This applies to girls in high school also. This is their lives are made of this. Maybe boys also, I guess. I shouldn't say girls, but boys also probably. I'm sorry? Kanos Hashem. Kanos Hashem. Hashem means publicity, being public. Hashem means being famous. Kanos Hashem, you want to be famous. You want to be Kone Hashem. Liz goes for him. Liz gadol etzla. About what you know. You don't know what you don't know. Okay, number 9. Can you believe it? He's making this list of bad things associated with chattering. And this is now typical Chayvus Halvavus. Because the Chayvus Halvavus countless times throughout the Sefer talks about your chiyuv to give mussar to someone that's doing something not good, and to teach people the right way to do things. And he says, if you're in a crowd, you have this nisayon now. You have a nisayon to give mussar where it's called for. You have a nisayon to say that's not correct. This is the right way to do things. And you're a little, you're hesitant. You don't want to look like a rabbitson, chas v'sholem. And they'll say, oh, how do you know that? Who told you that that's true? So you're afraid. So you have an asayon. That's his point. You have an asayon of giving mussar. If someone's doing something wrong, or you hear that someone did something wrong, u'mehem chiyuv atzivoy betov, your obligation to teach the right way to do things, the hazhara min hara, and to warn people against doing what's wrong. So you have that nisayon. And when you're alone, you don't have that nisayon. Right? That's all as simple as that. You have a nisayon. And so that's another negative. And now he sort of... You are, but it's a nisayon. So that's another negative aspect of chattering with people, is that many times you're faced with a nisayon that you might not be strong enough to pass. If musar is called for, if tochacha is called for, if macha'a is called for, or someone did something the wrong way, or you hear that someone takes challah the wrong way, and you're, yeah, embarrassed, you know, you're embarrassed to say, you know, I learned. There is an edler way to say it, you know, you don't have to say it in a way of one-upsmanship, but you say, I was in Rebbe Simonides' class, and I think she said something differently, I'm not sure, but I think maybe she said, like, say it in that way. Let's both check it out after Shabbos. Like, let's check it out. Okay. And then he says an amazing, he says, like, he sort of segues off as he oft does. You have to stop people from doing evil in one of three ways. You're not gonna like the first. Give a little slap on the hand. You're not supposed to do that. Obviously that's an extreme, what Pinchas did, but you can't, the gedorim of when you're allowed to hit someone to give tochacha is a parsha b'fnei atzmo. I would say, because of the strict guidelines, since under normal circumstances it's also to hit someone, I would say it almost renders it moot. Although we find, unfortunately, Jews, sometimes different sects, end up hitting each other in the street. You do find that. It was when I was in Muncie, I remember there were physical acts of violence between different groups. And you could say it's tochacha, Pinchas Zimri. I feel you're wrong. So I have to do this. So the gedorim of when you could and when you can't, and how with, you know, if something's not a clear psak, and it's unclear, and there's different shitas, different ideologies, so then you're not allowed to hit someone because you have a different ideology than they do. If they're following their rebbe or their rav or their morei derech, then you can't. Something, this has almost been rendered moot because when there's no Beis Din HaGadol and there's no clarity and there's no, but it could be, you know, let's say two members in a shul and the Rav passed in a certain way, they have to listen to him. And if someone takes them, you know, you could stop them. You could. We're not shying away from the emes. Sometimes when it's called for, when it's necessary, you can even hit someone. Okay, Vasheni is at least orally. You have to be moche. You have to say that's wrong. Stop what you're doing. You're not allowed to do that. Limchels b'devarim. Kamosha also Moshe. Be'omro la'rosha l'masakereyecha. So we find that kind of tochacha. We find the tochacha b'yodayim by Pinchas. And we find the tochacha of speech by Moshe Rabbeinu. Vashlishi b'leiv. This is amazing. He says at the very least, think, hate Rishoim, dislike when people do things wrong, develop at least believe an aversion to it. Don't accept it and just, you know, give a weak smile and say that's how things are. You know, at least be moche believe, which means for yourself, you know it's wrong and you wish the person would stop it. For whatever reason, you can't talk, you're not in a position to talk. Again, the Gedarim are in the Shulchan Aruch. There's dinim about all of these things. But his point is, again, he's talking about the negative aspects of socializing. So number 9 was that you have the Nisayan of giving Musar, and then of Tochacha. And then he sort of, because, you know, people standing around, there are bound to be a couple people there that don't do things properly, and they talk. And now you have the Nisayan. So he says, first of all, you have a Nisayan. And then he says, and you have to stop it. And then he says, there's three ways of stopping such things, either by hitting or by talking, or at least the very lowest thing is make sure you don't pull back your opposition, your negative feelings about this act, which is usur because this person did it. So in your heart, you hate it, and you think it's terrible, and it's wrong. It's a chiddush. Only Chavis Halavus. Only Chavis Halavus would put that on a list of tochacha, like believe. Because that's the whole point of the sefer. how important it is to have the right thoughts, to think the right way, to have the right hashkafas, call it, and to... There's so much going on, believe, that's the purpose of the Sefer. So it's not at all surprising that he puts it on his list of ways of giving tochacha. At least develop an aversion to this act, belibcha. Yeah.
Okay, so his main point here is to try to avoid socialization, and then you don't have to deal with most of these issues.
I am hesitant to say that. I'm hesitant, because... yeah, someone's going to say, I'll differ from Rosh HaTzibur. That has nothing to do with this. Altibir ben Atzibur means if the Tzibur developed a certain hanhoga, if they called a fast day, if they say, you should say the prayer for rain, Vaneinu Bori Olam, if they said we're all going to get together and say Tillim in someone's house, and a person says, I'm too busy, and that's Altibir ben Atzibur. Doesn't mean socializing. It's referring to hanhoga tova that the Tzibur was makabel, and you say, I'm in my own world, and I'll do things that I decide to do, and I don't have to go along with the tzibur. That's all different from the tzibur. I would prefer to rephrase it. He does say that, but I'm afraid to say it. But I prefer to rephrase it, because he really, it is, these are 30 things to think about. So let's rephrase it. Let's reframe it so it's not so harsh. It's think about the negative aspects of socializing. And then you will ask yourself, when you want to do it, is this worthwhile? What are the dangers involved? And instead of just, what do you mean? That's like my morning coffee, and then I get together with a bunch of ladies, and we talk in the park. Our kids will go on the swings, and we stand there socializing. So think. Look at all these negative things that could come out. So you have to weigh, you know, what you're doing, and it has to be worthwhile. And he's going to say that if you have a good group and people that further your avodas Hashem, because they could be role models and they are good people, then he says that's not. Then solitude, then you have solitude even with them, because you don't have all these negative aspects of socializing. And you're with Hashem, and you're learning from them how to serve Hashem, so that's not a stira to being alone. But as he was about to say.
Well, what do you do in your own family? All my kids are busy telling each other that they're doing the wrong thing. They're giving tolkaka to each other. They're jockeying for position, trying to. They're doing all of these, basically all of these things, and they're in their own family. What do you do about that?
That's a chinuch question.
Uh-huh.
That's not that. Now that becomes a chinuch question. If my kids don't talk properly, let's say, or not to me, which they never do to parents, the chutzpah quotient grows exponentially every 5 years. Mrs. Samet's, Rebbetzin Samet's book just came out about Kibbut Avaim. She just made, like the other side of the story, she just came out with a Kibbut Avaim book. I'm buying one for each of my kids. Can't afford to buy one for each of my grandchildren, but let my kids worry about the grandchildren. That's a chinuch issue. You're not in the social world of your children. Here he's talking about being alone as opposed to constantly having a need for friends and for talking and for interacting with others. A person should be alone. Now, if when you're alone, you have nothing to think about, and you just either space out or you put on the music, and that's not good either. He's talking about an alone that you have what to think about. You have the 29 other things to think about when you're alone. You can think about how Hashem was kind to you, and how you ended up in Eretz Yisrael, and you ended up with a roof over your head, and you have children and grandchildren, and your bladder works. I mean, really, these are all the things Chavis Olavus wants us to think about. This is Shara Bechidu things. You can always think about that. You can think about how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. You say, I'm lucky I'm born a Jew. Thank you, Hashem. Or if you're a ger, you say, I met people who told me to become a ger, and like, wow. Look how many people didn't become Gaelim. And I am so lucky, like I can't thank Hashem enough that I met people along the road of my life, which is so rare. And look where I ended up. I'm in the Am HaNivchar. I could say Avraham Avinu too. And it's just, it's endless. And this is the Chavis HaLobos, this is the way the Chavis HaLobos wants us to live, with a constant thank you to Hashem. So there's what to think about. And so, but when your children are doing all the negative things he describes, it's not, that's a different question. It's a question of how should I be machanach them. That's a different issue. A different, I don't even know if I have the answer. My children certainly don't think so. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? That's not this problem. This problem has to be balanced with a person's natural need for companionship. And sometimes someone alone becomes more ashkharadik, depressed, which is very bad. So the ideal thing to do is to have the kind of friends that he's going to describe shortly in a few lines. But again, let's just take this as realize the negative aspects, because everything he said here, except maybe for Shvua Sheker and Shvua Shav, we all could sagely nod our heads and say, yeah, I could see that happening. That taka happens all the time. That's how life is. Yeah, that's how people are when they talk together. So, and like, we recognize everything he says. Very, very clever, very clever. It's hard to imagine people like that way back then, right? We're talking over 1,000 years ago, but people are people. So, but this is an amazing thing to remember. Chavis HaLobos says there's three ways of giving tochacha. You can hit the person, and again, there's very strict guidelines in halacha, that it becomes a halachic inyan. No less than borer. Right, Boer has halachic guidelines. Hitting someone, or any tochacha really, because you're not allowed to even embarrass the person. So you say, wait a second. You mean at times I can hit the person, but I'm not allowed to embarrass him publicly, right? Or really even privately, I don't know why I said publicly. You're not allowed to embarrass him even when you're alone. You can't berate the person to embarrass him. So each thing has its gedarim when it's called for, and it's a halachic matter like any area in halacha, and it's quite complicated. But the idea of the chiyuv tochacha is through action, through hitting, physically preventing a person from doing something usur, talking, that's the tochacha that we're most familiar with, giving musr. And then the third thing is the Chavis HaLobos Chiddush, that at least, at the very least, if you can't do any of the above for whatever reason, at least think about it and firmly decide and realize that it's evil, and you're not going to get caught up in it, and you recognize it for being evil, and you're not going to fall into the trap of doing it also. So you're like, you're mochem belibo. So you said, I hate evildoers. Even though really that's not tochacha, because nobody's reading your mind. But he says you have to, this is a chiddush of the Chavis HaLobos. He uses the word chayav. You're mechuyev to call a spade, and realize that this is wrong and evil, and make sure that your values are not corrupted by things, because that's always a sakana. He's going to say soon that that's one of the sakanas of socializing, is that you listen to people talk, and who knows who you're listening to. And they read some guy's blog last night, and they're spouting nonsense, and we're affected by it. You know, you go, oh, Taka, maybe that's true. And our values get corrupted by hearing all sorts of silly pontifications of the rabbis, and what's right, and what's wrong, and how come this, and how come that, and we get corrupted. So it's very important. Yeah.
Let me make a distinction between hitting someone to prevent him from doing something, as opposed to hitting him after he's done it to punish him? It sounds like that, because
What well, good comes out of hitting someone again, afterward? What, except that he resents you.
Most of the time we would hit someone as a preventative, you're right. Again, I don't want to get into it too much because it's a halachic issue, and like everything else, it has its halachic guidelines, whether it's before or after, what Frushim Eisur it's called, whether we could punish someone for having done something wrong. You're right, most of the relevancy of this would be as preventative. Okay, but like everything else, I'm trying not to talk about it because it's complicated. And the point of the Chavis HaMavis is only that, let's assume even the second thing, orally, let's not get hung up on something he said. Because, you know, his point is, when you're standing around with people, it'll have a chi of tochacha and you won't be omid ben esayod. And then the Gemara in Shabbos says, if you don't give tochacha when you're supposed to, so there's a problem sometimes of chanufa, and sometimes you're caught up in the punishment. That's a famous Gemara, and this is something we have to avoid.